And he says, I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have room enough to take it in. Try it. Let me prove it to you. Now let's go to the next verse. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from the insects and disease. Your grapes will not shrivel before they are ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord Almighty. Now then, see, he promised to, in verse 11, your crops will be abundant, and I will guard them from insects. Now, in the King James, let's see what that says in verse 11. It's a little clearer to me in the King James on this. Look at this. He says, if you tithe, and I, God, will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Now, the devourer, when he talks about the insects and everything else, the devourer is the devil to me. And the devil is in control of a lot of the things of the world. And so the devil can send his insects or whatever. Of course, they really belong to God. God's in charge of everything. But God has sent the enemy to do certain things to us because we do not put him first. I believe with all my heart, God is never caught by surprise for anything that happened to anybody. He knows everything. He's the one that orchestrates everything that happens. When you read this book in your entirety, you can't miss that if you read it one time through. I don't know how many hundred times he makes this statement. I am God. There is no other gods. And I am the one that does everything. You know, I create good. I create evil. I kill. I give life. I, God, do everything. It's written. Isaiah 45:7. Look at that. I've saw men that write books to tell you that that verse does not mean what it says. But look what it says. I am the one who creates the light and makes the darkness. I am the one who sends good times and bad times. I, the Lord, am the one who does these things. Do you believe he means that? I do too. I believe the king is in control. I remember one day I read that verse, and then later I got a book from a man, and the caption on the front was Isaiah 45:7. And when I opened it, and he made a statement, does God really do these things? And I opened the book and I read it, and it was, I don't know, not a lot of pages, 20, 30, 40 pages. But I read it, and the man went to great place to try his best to prove that God did not mean what he said, and it's impossible for God to do evil. But God himself, he takes credit for it. I think if the king takes credit for what he says, I believe he just, I'm not going to waste my time trying to prove God won't do what he said. If God says, I create darkness, hey, I believe he created darkness. If he says, I create light, I believe he creates light. You know, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time trying to prove that God doesn't do what he said himself he does. So, you know, that's just where I am. You know, if God said it, that settles it. It doesn't make any difference whether I believe it or not. Because I think about how many scriptures in the Word of God that I used to believe different than I do today. And especially whenever the Lord quickened my heart to that Daniel chapter 3. Now, some of you have been here when I've taught that. I'm not going to teach that tonight. But whenever I taught Daniel chapter 3, when I went through it one time, and then somebody came up to me and said, you know, Thurman, God here is, he's saying here, these boys, but if they don't have faith, you know, God's not going to save them. And I got to thinking about that. I thought, you know, that's not a very positive confession. I'm going to be this kind of guy. I'm going to say, okay, Lord, you promised in your word to heal me. Now, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, you can heal me. But if you don't, if you decide not to. And I thought, Lord, that there ain't no positive confession in that, is there? Not at all. I said, God, if you're a kind of God that you move to save those boys and you took them out of the furnace, They must not have made a declaration like that. Because you said in your word that when I ask for anything, I've got to ask in faith, nothing wavering. I've got to know beyond a shadow of doubt you'll do what you promised. If I don't believe that, you tell me in your word, you won't do nothing for me. He said that. I said, Lord, there's got to be a problem here. So I went back and I read and studied and researched and done everything and then prayed over and everything else. And finally, the Lord revealed to me, Daniel chapter 3, what he literally meant. And and the way I taught it for years, it was wrong. And so I had to change. And so then one day I had a young man here who was going to go to Crystal College, and he was going to this church, so I had to send him in a little form that they wanted to know if he was a good Christian, good standing, and I did all that. And when they came to that a year or so later, his professor, he had been here and heard me teach on it. And so he comes to me, Thurman, you preached that Daniel 3 wrong when you taught it. I said, what do you mean? He said, my professor says this is what it means. And he told me, and I said, no, I believed that for years, but I don't anymore. And I couldn't convince him. So I told him, I said, get you some more commentaries on it. Well, the next Sunday, or a couple Sundays later, he came back to church. He had 6 or 7 more written commentaries by PhDs. And he said, every one of these men agree with my professor. You're wrong. I said, no, they're all wrong. They're all wrong. Well, I have taught Daniel chapter 3 to a lot of men, and as a rule, right now, when I sit down and talk with Daniel 3 to most men, I very rarely ever have one I can't convince that it says what it says. You know, and of course, that man, that pastor of that church up in Canada, he said that's the verse that turned him on to me. He said, when I heard you teach on that, I thought, that's not what that says. And he said, I went back and got my Bible, and he went to seminary. He said, that's not the way they taught it. He said, I went back and got my Bible, and I went through that with you. And after I heard the way you explained that, he said, it can't say nothing but what he's saying. It's got to be right. Now, in this scripture, we've got it on the screen right here. In Daniel 3, of course, the Nebuchadnezzar, the whole story, he has brought the boys up, and of course, he has said, Nebuchadnezzar, to fill you in on what's going on, he says, I am God of the land. I am God. He's declaring himself God. And what he's doing, he's saying, I'm building a statue up here, a golden statue of me, and everybody must bow down and worship this golden idol. And he said, if you don't, I'm going to kill you. Well, that'd be pretty good incentive to worship his idol, wouldn't it? I mean, he's not playing games, is he? Yeah, you either bow down and worship my idol. Anybody that refuses to bow down and worship my idol, I'm the king. You just cut their head off. So the people come out and say, you know, we're going to tell you that the king says he's going to build a golden idol and everybody must come up here and you must bow down and worship this idol. If you refuse to bow down and worship his idol, we are to kill you. Well, now you're either going to leave Babylon and go somewhere else or you're going to do what he says, right? Yeah, that's how simple it is. You know, and so he run into these three young men. These three young men wouldn't do it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they would not bow down and worship that idol. And so the men, they worked in the government. And so these people weren't told the king. You know, and man, was he hot. He told them, I'm going to give you another chance. And this is what happened. It says, he said, now, if you will bow down and worship them, then I won't destroy you. But if you do not bow down and worship the idol, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace. So in verse 17 says, he said, if it be so, our God, if it be so. You know, you stop and think about that. If it be so. If what be so? In other words, if it be so that you throw us in the fiery furnace. That's what he's trying, because that's just what he just said. In the verses before, like I say, I didn't plan to teach the whole thing tonight, but I've got to talk about it a little bit now that we've kind of whet your appetite, because some of you haven't studied it. So, but he just told them, in other words, he just pulled these boys out here, and let's just say that you three right here, you three ladies right here, y'all were the three amigos. The three, you know, and the king just told you, if you three don't bow down and worship my idol, I'm going to throw you in a fiery burning furnace. What are you going to do? Oh, king, you know, if it be so. That's where we are. This is where we are. If it be so, in other words, that you do throw us in the fiery furnace, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. Now, is that a positive declaration of faith? Now, I don't care, this devil of hell that's put this sickness and disease upon me. I have repented. I have stood against this thing. And now that I know, Lord, I've got every sin repented of, and I'm walking holy in your presence, and you've made me a promise in your word, I'm standing on it. I'm healed. I don't care what happens. I'm healed. Because it is written. Not if it be your will. Not maybe you will. We know what his promises are. So we stand. But sometimes we have sins in our life we don't know that we don't get together, and so we don't get our answer. But these boys, if it be so that you do throw us in the fiery furnace, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, what? That's exactly what he's saying. Not, but if not, he doesn't save us out of the fiery furnace, but if not, that you do not throw us in the fiery furnace. That's what he's trying to say. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. And what's clinched this for me was, if they were saying, but if he doesn't save us out of the furnace, in the first part of verse 18, where he says, but if not, in other words, if God don't save us, and he does throw you in the fiery furnace, if we got the three amigos over here that's just getting fixed to get thrown into the fiery furnace, and if God don't deliver you, and you go through that fiery furnace, what do you think is coming out of that fiery furnace? What's coming out? What are you going to be like, young lady? What do you think is going to happen to them toes? If I throwed you in a burning, fiery furnace, what do you think is going to be happening? What do you think is going to be left of that foot?
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with the teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106, and we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.